This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network,
it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, but we are relatively concerned. What we need to do to eliminate our fear is to have an understanding of the truth of things. We know the truth. .online. Go check it out. And David Webb is here to explain why he wrote the book, The Great Taking, thegreattaking.com, and is promoting the concept that if you're invested in the stock market, if you have a mortgage, if you have documentation that goes on up by a certificate of stocks, no fear, but we are relatively concerned. I mean, relative to what? Death, dying, and destruction concerned. This is such an important show that I hope that you'll share it and go and listen to the unedited version of the full length. I got everything I could to give you the gist of the important part of our conversation with David Webb. But I wanted to share this with you guys because it is of such great importance to understand the retirement that you're counting on, your pensions, your 401ks, your municipal bonds, your stock certificates you think you got a property right in. It's all gone. It's been already done. It's not a gonna happen thing. It's an already happened thing. And David Webb has been confirming things that we've been warning of for over 15 years and longer. Here we go. You talk about how all 50 states in just a couple of years were able to make changes in universal commercial code or whatever, machinations and passed and did and whatever to create and solidify this happening. When it goes, it's going to be everybody. If you don't have it in your freaking duck rolling around little hands, it is not yours. And it's going to go somewhere else to the bank of they, them, those. Thank you for playing. Everybody all in? Y'all in? Thank you for playing. It's ours now. How far off am I?
Oh, that's very accurate. Yeah. I think you had a very good intuitive sense to know that in 2008. I think that's pretty accurate.
Thank you. You know how hard it is, to convince you probably do, because how hard it is to convince people, especially those that benefit from the system. It's working for them. I'm a gazillionaire. I go, yeah, this week. I'm telling you, so I've just been screaming to my audience, because I'm not sufficient. I don't know. I've done stock market, and it got so, it's not logical. I'm done. Silver. Silver. What are you going to do? Silver. But what are you going to do? Silver. Why? Because I understand that. It's mine. Yeah. Try and take it. I mean, and then it's not stored somewhere. It's not in some ETF. It's not, this, I tell you this. I have a close family member that is a VP at Moody's. finally, when the thing went, you know, in 08, he decided he's going to read Atlas Shrugged. Wall Street's all reading Atlas Shrugged then, man. They're all Atlas Shrugged up. And then he started, he goes, yeah, I think I probably should get some physical silver. What he found out is he couldn't. You know, the assets that he had in some retirement or this or that, you can't, yeah, you can do this kind of ETF, you kind of sort of almost, you can call it silver, but you don't get it. And I'm going, what does that tell you? Okay? So this is, for my audience, my family, my friends, this is why this was so important to me to talk to you, David. Will you please, in your own words, explain if I'm full of crap, you know, or he's full of crap, and say it, I don't care. But to encourage them that what they think they got can be gone in a weekend, okay? It's done. It's not gonna happen. It has already happened. And if they don't have the physical, it's gone. I mean, maybe if you have paid off land, you're better off than usual. But what would you say to my listeners, readers, followers, family, friends of what, where we are and what's the best way to hedge the risk?
Again, I think you had a very good intuitive understanding because I wouldn't disagree with anything you said. And I think there are things you can do to not be the first to fall, so to speak. You know, to sell things and pay off your debt, to have physical things. But as I said earlier, my real message with the book, it's not an investment advice book, because the point is much bigger than that. It's that this has to be stopped. So it's not,
eventually.
Well, yes, but it has to, there are ways to stop it. In fact, there doesn't even have to be a collapse. It can be stopped. It's a matter of, so maybe we'll come back to that, but let me come back to what you're saying about how can people hear this. So I've struggled with this, as you have, for a long time, trying to get through to people, and it's damned difficult to do. And then when I had irrefutable facts about this, which I'll go into here. So I'm giving a presentation. I'm trying to head off the changes in Europe, and I'm giving one example. I met with the Minister for Financial Markets in Sweden and his state secretary, and it was a very emotional thing for me that they would even meet with me, which isn't possible to do in the U.S. You know, being a U.S. citizen, to be able to talk with anyone in the government, you know. So they heard me, and they did not disagree with what the veracity of what I'm going to tell you here. But they said, well, maybe if the Germans will stand up to this, we would not have to do this.
We who?
So this is the way it goes. And then I had presented this at a hedge fund conference in Zurich. And I had emailed every participant at the conference beforehand a personal email explaining this to them concisely, the mechanism for taking the collateral. So they all had personal emails. When I did the presentation, I could see everyone in the room, their eyes were as big as saucers. Yeah. And they were taking this in, and when I finished, I had it down to like a half-hour presentation. When I finished, there was complete silence in the room.
Yep.
And then they broke for coffee. And I approached different groups of people, and I said, did you understand what I was presenting there? And this is a typical response. One guy said, yes. And I said, all right, well, what would you do about this? And he said, nothing. Single word answers. So I said, why would you do nothing about this? And he said, my clients don't know about, no, he said, my clients aren't concerned about this. And I said,
they
aren't concerned about it because they don't know about it. So this is the nature of the inertia. People, all the way to the top of the system, we all assume that there's someone that is looking out for us, or at least having the sense to look out for their own interests. But there are reasons why people don't do that, even at high levels, because it's easier, it's very difficult for them to resist.
You know, certain things will happen that all of a sudden everybody's going to get religion, all right? Everybody's going to see what happened. Everybody's going to understand, you know, that, you know, something's going on. So, but by then, oftentimes, because they, how do you get access to it? How long does it take? Oh, it's like Germany, you know, a lot of other countries going to the United States, you know, a decade or more ago, saying, you know, we want our gold back. And they go, yeah, I was here a minute ago, kind of next to my har. Well, we're going to repatriate it to you over 7 years, you know, that kind of crap. Well, over the years, a lot of people don't know, Justin, look, how was last year? It's like, I thought I saw 500 and something tons of gold is going to, you know, sovereign country, you know, China especially, and just buy, I mean, it's happening right not later. And they're doing the same thing with ETFs to cryptocurrencies and bitcoins and whatever the heck they're doing. They're turning commodities, assets, things like gold, silver, and for a lot of people that understand blockchain technology, have some faith in that, kind of the same thing. They're turning it all into paper with this trading, you know, and futures and funds. It don't mean nothing unless you got it. And then where do you store it? How do you do it? Then do you provide, and what's all that money for? To provide for a security of yourself and your family and loved ones, that kind of thing, which you have done. So you buying a farm in Sweden, tell us about that a little bit. One, why you did that, why you did it there, and how much more secure you feel by having done it.
Okay, well, I'll come back to why I'm in Sweden to lead into kind of the framework for everything.
Please.
Maybe. But
we got time.
I would say, first of all, I would not be on a farm now if this macro situation were not so dire. You know, I would very happily live in the center city and buy my food at the grocery store. So it's just that year after year, it keeps pointing to the necessity to do this. And I know from my study of the 30s and my family history, even though both sides of my family, they had no debt, you know, they owned their homes outright. They were comparatively, you know, better off, but it was very difficult for years because, you know, my father's side, they were engineers, and so the apologists for the Fed tell this happy story about the bank holiday and how that fixed the depression in March 1933. Well, I know from family letters, 3 years later, the crane and hoist business, my grandfather's business, had no business 3 years later. So there was no miracle there. And my other grandfather, who was the surgeon, he was a real physician, especially with what he had gone through in the war. So he kept doing surgeries for people, but no one had any money to pay for surgery. So we had a chair at the foot of our stairs in our house. And I remember my mother saying, yeah, someone gave that to my father for doing a surgery. So both sides of the family had to have recourse to family members that had some land where they could grow food. So it can be like that, and we can see the degradation of our food supply. also. So, I mean, that's why I'm doing it. Now, why Sweden? So this comes all the way back to the time frame you were talking about, Ernest, in 2008. I knew that there was going to be a bust then, and that there were going to be a lot of insolvencies. And I was actually quite comfortable through that because I had positioned for that. But in 2008, I noticed the failure of a small broker dealer in Florida in which the client accounts were not returned to the clients, which always would have been the case. They were encumbered in the bankruptcy estate.
Okay, when you say always would have been the case, until when?
Okay, so well, let me say that's when I dug into it, because that just caused my brain to explode when I found that the client accounts were encumbered in the insolvency, because I knew there were going to be a lot of insolvencies. So for 400 years, for the entire history of since the invention of securities, they were personal property. So for a custodian to take your securities would have been illegal, would have been fraud. They were taking your property. Now, this is the interesting thing. People have come to accept this, that this is what happens in the bankruptcy of a securities firm. That was not the case for 400 years. So how is that done? You know, the first step, and this is where I say the planning for this, this scheme that I'm going to describe here, began over 50 years ago in the late 1960s. And this began with the imperative to dematerialize securities. So as you were pointing, that stock certificate. So, but the main thing is that there's no specific identification of the owner to the certificate. So the dematerialization process was literally a CIA project. And this is not conspiracy theory. You can, you know, the primary source documents, the guy who was in charge of this was a CIA operative from a young age. And this is was the first, it's a precondition for what came afterwards. Now, you could have had book entry, electronic record keeping, where people still had specific identification. And that was the case in Sweden in 2008 and 2009. And that's why I came to Sweden, because I found that Sweden was one of the few places where it was still, while securities were dematerialized, you had a specific numbered security. So you had specific identification, and you had property rights to that security, even if the custodian failed. And that was an imperative for me.
Well, that was something that was normal for everywhere, and now it was limited to Sweden.
Yes, it had been. It was so. It was possible in Sweden and Finland at that point, which has now been subverted. That was the battle that I was undertaking during those 5 years. You know, meeting with the Minister for Financial Markets and people in Zurich, trying to prevent this from happening in Europe. But so let me go to the next step. So we have dematerialization. The next step was this change, which you referred to earlier, the change to the Uniform Commercial Code, which is something that is enacted at the state level. So this could be done quietly in all 50 states. And it was the revision specifically to Articles 8 and 9 of the UCC.
And how long did that take?
Well, I think the revision was in 1994. I expect it might have taken 10 years for it to be implemented in all 50 states. Because we'll come. There were some other key things that then happened just after that to set the stage. So we're probably somewhere in the 2000s when it has been enacted in all 50 states. Now, the key thing about this operation of the UCC, I think we can see from accounts that there were probably just two guys that did that, that were the experts that knew about that, that came up with this scheme. And the scheme was to create something called a securities entitlement, which is something that hadn't existed in the entire history of securities. And
just like mortgage-backed security of this security of that security and how it's defined. They just make crap up.
Well, but this is really, this is very profound. This is the linchpin. So the entitlement means that that is what severs your property right. The entitlement is a contractual claim. And this is universal now. So you no longer have property rights attaching to a specific security. You have a contractual claim. So they took something that always had been property and converted it into a contractual claim that has very weak standing in the bankruptcy of the entire financial system or a specific custodian. That's by design. You're an unsecured creditor. They took the people that have the property, they make them unsecured creditors, and then we'll get to this. They took things that were contracts, which never would have had priority in the bankruptcy, and they have given those super priority in the insolvency.
Which was the banks, I imagine.
Yeah, they've taken contracts that never would have had standing in the insolvency and given the secured creditors behind those contracts super priority to take the client assets. So we'll get through how that goes.
Okay,
so,
well, first, you know, I don't want to lose a lot of the audience and them understand, because we're not all economics guys here, you know. But UCC stands for Universal Commercial Code, which was in the early 52-4, around in there, that they created this so that all the states would be kind of harmonized in their contracts and dealings with each other and be able to, so they could have a centralized point of control. It's like, you know, let's control the plan, you know, the United States of America and all the 50 states. How might we do that? UCC. So when you're talking about, I want to get back to your CIA guy before we continue, that, you know, I don't want to gloss over that because that, I'm like, what? I hadn't heard this, okay? So explain that in more detail.
The cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The special counsel prosecuting former President Trump wants the Supreme Court to immediately decide Trump's immunity claim. White House correspondent John Decker.
It may just decide, you know what, we're not going to step in at this point. Or it may say, you know what, this is a very important issue. We need to resolve this issue right now.
The Supreme Court said they will consider the expedited request. The Biden administration defends its veto of a UN resolution for an immediate Israel-Hamas ceasefire. They express concerns that a general ceasefire could empower Hamas leaders to control Gaza and plan future attacks on Israel. Israeli forces are engaged in clashes with Hamas fighters in Gaza's two largest cities today, marking the third month of the ongoing conflict. Simultaneously, Qatari officials are making efforts to resume negotiations for the release of hostages. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're getting right back to our conversation with David Webb, author of The Great Taking, thegreattaking.com. This is going to become common knowledge very quickly, and this is a great conversation about the man, David Webb, what he discovered, when, how, and the ramifications that it's going to have to every single person on this planet. This is one of the most important shows that you can forward, listen to again, and understand. I want to get back to your CIA guy before we continue. That, you know, I don't want to gloss over that because that, I'm like, what? I hadn't heard this, okay? So explain that in more detail. Here was a guy that represented the interest of the CIA And what year did this start to happen that they were doing this? Expand on that a little bit for me.
Okay, we know this because he wasn't shy about it. It's in his personal memoir. He gave interviews where he talked about this and had basically a sense of humor about it.
Do you remember his name?
Same as Bill Dentzer.
Okay, Bill Dentzer is proud of what he did. What did he do?
Yeah, he started out as a young man, basically, when he was in university or just out of university, organizing anti-communist student groups in Europe. So, you know, this is early days, post-World War II. You know, I probably in the 50s, I guess he was doing that, and Cold War era. So, but he was working for the CIA, and the CIA arranged his draft deferment. And then he worked explicitly for the CIA, now not hiding it at all, for 5 years. Then he was transferred, and he used the word transferred. Not that he got another job. He was transferred to USAID, which was operating federal programs in Latin America. And we know that a lot of nice things were happening.
Yeah, going global. I get it.
Through that period. And then in his memoir, it's kind of a shocking statement. He says, following the assassinations, his interests shifted back to the U.S.
Okay, say his name again. I got to look this guy up. That's awesome.
Bill Dentzer. I think it's D-E-N-T-Z-E-R. And so he comes back to the U.S., and it's not really clear why he's back in the U.S., but this is the next very strange thing. Nelson Rockefeller then appoints him superintendent of banks in New York State when he has absolutely zero background in banking or finance. He's made superintendent of banks. And from that position, he is then made the CEO of the newly formed Depository Trust Corp.
Walk me through this. I just looked him up, and it's amazing serendipity, man, that you just said that. Because I put in Bill Dentzer, CIA. What was the first thing that comes up? Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation. I went, why the heck would they, why is that up there? And then you said that. He goes over to that. This is amazing. I have never heard of this guy at this link. It's always the CIA. I mean, you know. Okay, I apologize. Continue, please.
I mean, it was clear that they made up this, they call it the paperwork crisis in 1968. They created this story that handling paper certificates had just become overwhelming. So they closed the New York Stock Exchange just on Wednesdays and just for 6 months through the end of 1968. And then somehow things continued working just fine with paper certificates for another 5 years. Or more, because DTC wasn't formed until 1973. But they had created the crisis to justify dematerialization and fix that. Now, the other curious thing is that the paperwork crisis, he had mentioned the assassinations, the paperwork crisis began 6 days after the assassination of Bobby Kennedy.
No, what's interesting is that your documentary is going to be premiering December 9th on CHD.TV, which is Bobby Kennedy's site, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and so I would imagine that you've talked to him. He knows what's up. He's running for president. You know, uncle and dad were taken out by the man, and David Webb's book got read by somebody. You know what I mean?
Well, I have, let's say I have pursued him.
So I bet it wasn't a big, giant, hard, you know, pursuit.
Yeah, no, I have made a point of trying to communicate this to him, because I believe that, as I was saying earlier, there's no place to hide from what we're in now. And this linkage of the money creation with the war machine, which is now a hybrid war machine and is public facing. And, this is my construct for how we can most positively address this. And we'll come back to the irrefutable facts behind this. But if awareness of this can be pushed all the way to the top of the system, that's what has to happen.
Okay. This is where I come in. Okay. This is exactly the point that I wanted to get to. It always comes down to general public opinion. If you don't have that on your side, a general awareness and understanding, it doesn't matter if you get voted into whatever, because people don't understand or made it clear that's why you were voted in, you know? So you have to have this kind of understanding, and is what a lot of us activists, a lot of people, you say Federal Reserve, you know, they're looking in the blue pages, you know, back when there were blue pages, you know, they're looking at what some government, you know, entity or something. It's not. It's a private thing. Well, just, you know, explaining that to people is just, you know, they don't want to hear it. They think they know what's up. They can't understand, wrap their minds around. My clients don't care because I'm not telling them. I mean, you know, kind of thing. And all of a sudden, when people have a general understanding, we got this during the 08 and 12 election cycle with Dr. Ron Paul, that the Lovolution was a big awakening for an entire generation. And these were, we were involved in that. And there were young kids. These kids, they're bringing grandparents, you know. So there was a big awakening then. Then you get, you know, MAGA. And it's not even a Trump thing. It's not a personality thing. It's not that. It's us. It's the people having an understanding, you know, something wicked this way is here, okay? What is it? As you're talking about Zeus and Prometheus, and all, it's what it's always been, a battle between good and evil. People that have no conscience, people that have no empathy, people that are willing to lie, cheat, steal, and little baby body parts blown up all over whatever, to be able to get more for them, and a lot of times is really just to make sure there's less for you to resist them. So this is where we're at. If Bobby Kennedy's effort, you know, to expose life, just this weekend, we have an enormous revelations, you know, presentations at MIT, New Zealand whistleblowers, you know, data on the vaccine stuff. It is going to change public opinion, and then it's over. Well, this is at the same time all of this is going on, we're getting the revelations that you're bringing out. And this is not unknown by a lot of people, but just like you say, a lot of these people with clients that they don't care. They're making money, not making money, whatever, don't care until they care. Well, they're going to start caring in droves here directly. So I'm with you, brother. It's general public opinion based on not just telling them, explaining what happened to them, because I am of the opinion that I believe it's going to have to happen. And before then, to really be motivated to find out what was what. Just like with the housing crisis and everything, 08, 09, people were looking then. I mean, it was amazing how many people would bring their documents and people getting foreclosed on that had paid off houses. Why? Because it was used as collateral for something, and they just kind of, a lot of this stuff. And I'm going, this is so important to understand general public opinion, and how do we get that? So that's where you're going with working with Bobby, but I'm just, I go
beyond that because I think that it is, of course, general public opinion would help. But this is the way I think of it. I've worked with people at pretty high levels in the system, and I think it's important to imagine who your enemy is, what sort of people they are, and the first thing is they're people. They're not lizards. They're not aliens. Actual people are capable of running something like this. It doesn't, you know, it's existed for a long time. So, but the people at the very top don't do anything themselves. They are almost incapable of doing anything themselves. They are entirely dependent on a support layer beneath them to do everything for them. So my purpose here is actually to affect the consciousness of those people at very high levels in the system so that they realize, I don't want this to happen. I'm not going to be protected. Sure, I seem to be making a lot of money, but I will lose everything. The other part of this is that even the people, the head of the snake, so to speak, at the very top of this, these people didn't design this. It was designed by granddad or dad, and they have inherited this. And so I think it's very important when I talk about resolving this legally and peacefully. I think, you know, we talk about consciousness. We can debate what consciousness is. What we know we have is a whole lot of unconsciousness all the way through, you know, the general public opinion. And of course, the people at the top of this that I've described that don't want to know about it. So we're going towards some kind of a horrific moment for humanity, largely unconsciously. Now, that's not to say that there aren't all these intelligence operations and military operations doing all bioweapons and all kinds of things that they are running basically out of control because they have the funding. And there are actual criminals in these organizations, but those people are not running this. They're running it within their operation, but they're not running this. If the funding stops to them, all of that stops. So it's again, we're at a moment that is it's horrific. It's very, very dangerous. It's a matter of how far this goes in terms of how much suffering will happen, but if we can wake people up all the way to the top of the system, it doesn't even have to happen. It can be dismantled.
Okay. And that, is that a faith thing, experience thing, you know, wishful thinking thing? When you say
maybe all of the above, but I think it is actually possible to wind down. Of course, you know, the ill-gotten gains should evaporate. You know, the entities that think they're going to run away with all the monopoly pieces, you know, they won't be allowed to do that. But they're, my two basic principles are give people back their stuff. That's a basic economic principle. Don't take the stuff away from the people. Give the people back their stuff. And secondly, stop hurting people. Things get better,
you know,
pretty fast.
This is coming from a guy that, you know, obviously was brought up by mom and grandparents and grand and dad and so on. Because this is, I've been through interviews like this before. It was some, you know, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Kansas farm boy goes to, you know, Manhattan, you know, learns all about, I want to know the truth. I mean, I heard the story that you describe of your childhood and you wanting to know the truth and going into the financial industry and getting in the middle of the muck and realizing this stuff. more times than, you know, is comfortable to me. You go there and go, well, they're doing it wrong. I'm going to do a Sarbanes-Oxley, you know, whistleblowing kind of whatever. And then you find out that wasn't a bug in the system. That was a feature. And shut up, boy. And here's, you know, a payoff, or we'll slap you around or kill you or whatever. And I'm going, this is it. We need people like you to provide the base morality for how this is supposed to be, while still having the understanding of what they've done to it. So I applaud you on that. Why I'm, you know, so encouraged to, you know, talk to you and promote your book and make sure that people pay attention to what be a coming.
Yeah,
it's not that I'm cynical. I'm very optimistic about the future, and the reason that our logo is the Phoenix, Freedom's Phoenix from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch, but there has to be ashes. That was developed in our minds in 96. I knew what was coming. And I'm going, from the ashes will be Freedom's Phoenix. So I'm very optimistic. But to think that there's not going to be ashes, I know better, okay? And it is a natural just evolution of the fourth turning, or whatever you want to call it, that we're up against evil people because they're that way. They have no empathy. They're gravitated towards the positions of power, the shiny badges that's always backed up by the available gun, and they get their CIA young kid out of school and squeeze his bicep and say, ooh, you must lift, and you want, you know, a shiny new car and a white picket fence and a super babe and green fees, and you'll do that. Absolutely, man, I'm your guy. You know, and they do it. And it doesn't require that many people. They are teeny tiny dots in an ocean of goodness. But our empathy and our compassion, our love, our willingness to just not worry about stuff, we just want to be left alone, is what makes us vulnerable. We are prey to these types of people, and is the reason why we come together to create institutions to protect our rights from these people, but they every single time take over those institutions and beat us over the head with it. And until we realize that, and we do what you're saying, we educate ourselves on some basic fundamental principles of what is and is not. I have a right to my life. To support my life, you know, I need my hands to create stuff and, you know, the liberty to work and build. And then I have a right to the property that my hands and life created. And the government's role is to protect that. It's no more complicated than that. And those that make it more complicated with CIA guys going UCC, if I went into created and lobbied for whatever, and it's ours now, I'm like, don't freaking care. And as soon as we have the general populace understand that this is revolutionary stuff, even if it's a revolution between the ears, but...
Well, it has to start there.
Well, you know, absolutely. So I'm with you. I've been a peaceful activist since I'm the love guy. Don't think I'm advocating for, because it doesn't work. And if you got revolutionary guys with guns getting in charge of the monuments and marble in D.C., you know... Then I got other guys with guns in charge of the marbles and monuments and these. Yay! You know, I'm not any better off. It is a personal thing. We got to be informed and ready and understand what we're fighting for and why. And that's why you're so important. Now I want to get in, you know, continue your discussion on the details of how they did it and the details of what we have to undo.
Yes, yes. Let me just tie up one thing, and then I'll jump into that. You know, with Kennedy, to me, I was working on this book as well. This most important thing I could possibly do, and I was working on this before he announced that he would run for president.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of happening concurrently that, and then I realized that what I was doing with this book could make a difference. And when I heard him talk about things, he had said, he said, look, I'm trying to be modest about this. It's just the case. He said, I'm the best qualified person to, address the executive agencies, to reform the executive agencies, because I've dealt with them from the outside. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the if you have someone that can take control of all the executive agencies. So I listened to what he was saying about that, and he said, well, you take out the top 10% of people, the bulk of the people in the middle, and this is how magnanimous he is. He was even saying the bulk of the people in the CIA are good people.
Probably.
This is the organization that assassinated his uncle and his father. He is a big tent person, which is what we need to say.
Yeah, he probably still do what his uncle said and cast it to the winds, though. I just, you know.
So now further, he said, what you do is you bring back in to run these agencies the people that have been forced out. Because as we know, the bad cuts out the good. So the best people are gone. They wouldn't work there. They wouldn't be part of it. So you can, if you, you can find people. So the point here is you don't have to start over from sticks and stones. You don't have to burn society to the ground. We, good people have built up the infrastructure that we have. So there is a way to, address this without a massive turnover and completely, you know, creating chaos. We can't have that. It can be done. I call it the big tent, where you're actually even saying to the people that are very high in the system, you need help to unwind this. You do not want this to go off. Nobody wants this. In fact, if you take it out and which we're about to do, lay it out on the table, you'd say, this is just a really stupid idea. It needs to be seen for that. That no one wants this. So the other thing is, so I flew to, I flew from Stockholm to LA just to get to an event where I could put a handwritten note in Kennedy's hand about this.
Yeah.
And I did. And then I did this with Mary Holland, who runs CHD for Kennedy.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.